So for those of you who might not know me other than being up here as a guitar player, no spoilers. That's my friend Riley. My name is Kai. I'm one of the seminary interns here at Wayzata Community Church. And I'm so blessed to be here and to speak with you all. Our scripture tonight is actually two passages from Genesis. Number one is about Abraham and Sarah, right? And Abraham and Sarah in this part of Genesis are very old and too old to have kids. And yet God comes to them and says, hey, you're going to have a son named Isaac, and you are going to bless all nations. And this takes a little bit longer than Sarah and Abraham want. And so Sarah comes up with her own plan. She says, I've got an idea. Why don't you go have a son with our servant, Hagar? And that's the way it's going to happen. We figured it out. That's the way you're going to have a son. Nailed it. Not quite, right? We know how that story ends, I think. Sarah ends up getting pregnant also. And they have a son named Isaac. And Isaac means laughter. Now, Isaac, laughter, ends up going on a little trip with Abraham. Up a mountain. Most of you already know this story already. Isaac and Abraham go up a mountain because God apparently tells Abraham that he has to sacrifice his son Isaac. Now, this is a somewhat common thing during this time because, as some of you might know, it was an agricultural age and they would get their farming done and their crops in and they would offer up a little bit of what they had as an offering of gratitude to God in hopes that God would see their offering and give them another bountiful season next time they have to harvest, right? Very transactional. Probably still works today. Totally fine. But what happens when that doesn't work? What happens when you have an off season? Because I'm no meteorologist, but I don't think I can burn wheat and make it rain. I don't think I can do that. So what happens when this system stops working for them? Offer some more. Why not? I must not have offered enough. This has worked in the past, or so I've seen, so I gotta offer some more. I gotta try it again. So they offer more and more, and then when they have livestock, they start sacrificing livestock, and they start trying that. And finally, maybe out of desperation, somebody tries for the first time sacrificing the biggest gift they've ever received, one of their own children. And maybe it works, or maybe there's a good season after. I don't want to call it works. But that's how something like this becomes commonplace. Does that make sense? But I want you to notice a tradition was built around asking entirely the wrong question. Did you catch that? In fact, both of their problems happen because they're asking the wrong questions. They're kind of wild stories. I can't see someone today, well, I suppose it happens. We have surrogates and all that. But out of desperation, they're like, we gotta have a kid. God told us we're gonna have a kid. Let's try this. And they make a mistake. Or, oh my gosh, we need crops. How do we get crops? And they make another mistake. But all we see in these stories are faithful people trying to figure out what to do in this world. They ask, just like we do, what do we as faithful people do to address the crises in our world today? These are hard questions, especially when these questions involve not just our interpersonal lives, but our planet, how to make peace, how religion fits in to a random and chaotic world, how the disparity between wealth and poor is so enormous in a Christian country or with a Christian leader or things like that. And if you look through the Bible, there are six stories that people use to try and solve these things. And some of you who were with me in Ireland got to hear from this hear this from a friend named Gareth Higgins. He's releasing a book with Brian McLaren very shortly. There are six stories we hear. The first one is the one we see in all the Old Testament kings, a story of domination. This idea that we tell ourselves, things will be better when I'm in charge. Things will be better when I have the wheel. Things will be better when I'm in control. The response to them a lot of the time are the prophets, the revolutionaries, the ones saying, we don't have the power, we need the power. We need the power. Once we have the power, then it'll be good. Then we have the Israelites who want to stay pure, which means some things are in and some things are out. But they make mistakes too. We also have them isolating themselves. We also have them scapegoating others. We have scapegoating others all over the place. Then we have the Romans with accumulation. I need more land, more countries, more this, more that. And finally, the most personal one, we have victimization. I think of the man by the well at Bethsaida when I think of victimization. When Jesus asks him, do you want to be made well? He says, well, no one's here to carry me in the pool. Is that an answer do you want to be made well? No, he makes an excuse because his condition gives him power. His condition gives him control because he knows what's coming, because it's safer to stay as he is than he ought to be. So maybe you're telling yourself a story of domination. Maybe you're telling yourself a story of revolution, of purification, of isolation, of accumulation, of victimization. Maybe you're keeping yourself in one of these because it feels safer, because it feels like you have control. These are the stories we try over and over. But the problem is, they limit us. They limit us to the confines of our own imagination, and they rule out the genius of collaboration around us, and most of all, they rule out the inspiration or the illumination of God of our own hearts. Did anyone catch that I'm missing a story from the Bible? Because there's one that's different. In this whole 66-book-long anthology, there's one person who starts trying it differently. We are missing the Jesus story. We're missing a story of love, of radical inclusion, of helping the poor and the powerless. And so if there's a situation in your own life where you find yourself trapped in a story of domination, it's not too late to remember a king who rules through service and love. If you find yourself trapped in a revolution, remember the prophet who, though he was equal to God, did not regard equality as something to be exalted, but humbled himself instead. If you find yourself trapped in a story of purification or scapegoating another person, remember the one who spoke to a Samaritan at a well in daytime when no one else would. If you find yourself wanting to run away from what troubles you, remember that the God of the universe is in all of the universe, even that which troubles you. If you find yourself trying to gather more and more, it's not too late to start considering the lilies of the field. And if you find yourself laying beside a pool, making excuses for why you can't walk, when there's a soft voice asking, do you want to be made well? It's not too late to say yes. It's not too late for us, our city, our nation, our world to be made whole. And if that sounds idealistic, it's because I am. But as sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah, I have to be if we're going to do our share to bless all nations. So it's not too late to join your hearts in the small deeds of togetherness, of creativity, of generativity, of wholeness, of belonging. It's not too late to admit that we've been wrong before and that we might be wrong again, but that we should start now telling a story of love. On Sunday, John asked, who do you say who God is? It's a big question.
Another way I interpret this, and another way I think Abraham interpreted this when he brought his son up the mountain to be sacrificed, is how do you think the world works? How do you think the universe works? What does the universe require of you in order to be better, to be whole, to be in line with its character? Let me ask you this way. Do we worship God the dominator, or the revolutionary, or the scapegoater, or the isolator, or the accumulator, or the victimizer? What does John say in the Gospel of John? Something that when we were talking about this, my friend Dean said every time, God is love. And so find a way to tell this new story in a new way in your life today. A small way. Find a way to tell yourself a story about patience, about kindness, about humility, service, forgiveness, a story that rejoices in truth. A story that says somehow each and everything on earth is a miracle of God. And somehow this, despite our timeline, despite our expectations, this is a story that never fails. It's not too late to start telling this story. It's not too late to try and get it right. It's not too late to start listening to the still small voice singing you the truest story and see the ways in which it might transform you and the ways you transform the world. It's never too late. Let's pray. Our God, give us courage to keep telling your story. And forgive us when we get it wrong. But God, give us courage to keep telling your story anyway. Be with us so that we might have a shot at getting it right. Give us courage, God. Amen.